Mike Matheny joins us on Sports Byline, former catcher who played 13 seasons with Milwaukee, the Blue Jays, Cardinals, and the Giants before starting his major league managing career with St. Louis and the Kansas City Royals. He won 4 gold gloves, and as a manager with the Cardinals, he won 1 National League pennant and 3 NL Central Division titles, and he is one of 3 catchers in major league history with an errorless season of at least 100 games. Let me take you back, first of all, to Reynoldsburg, Ohio, just outside, Columbus, Ohio. Tell me a little bit about growing up there.
Well, I was very fortunate. I grew up in a great home with parents that really just gave us the support that we needed and how badly we wanted that, of course. But kind of followed in the steps of my father. My father was a huge baseball fan, continues to be, and he just kind of instilled in us, I believe, a great work ethic. He came from the hills of West Virginia on a small farm, and being the oldest of 8, he was working since the time he could walk. And so that, and his, coupled with his passion for the game of baseball, the things that were transferred over to myself and my 3 brothers, and we were in a suburb of Columbus on the east side, to where we spent a lot of time outside playing the game. I didn't do a lot of following the game at the major league level because we just weren't allowed inside. We had to go play, and so we grew up on a basketball court, grew up playing a lot of wiffle ball, but always surrounded by support from parents that were very consistent, and how they showed their love for us, and disciplinarians. There's no doubt about that. But all that later on, I realized what a great gift it was to have that kind of care and attention brought to myself and my brothers as we were growing up.
Mike, I was smiling when you mentioned about your dad being from West Virginia. I had grandparents in Parkersburg, West Virginia, so I had an opportunity to spend summers there. And it was very interesting because I grew up in a family, a military family, so we traveled the world living in places like London and Italy and everything else. And then you go to Parkersburg, West Virginia, and it's almost like a culture shock. But there was something beautiful about the people and that environment. Tell me a little bit about that with your dad.
Yeah, wild, wonderful West Virginia. You know, we would spend all whatever vacations we had. My dad was a construction worker, so he operated heavy equipment. And the times we could get away, it wasn't during the summers because he was pulling 6-12-hour days whenever there was hay to be made in the construction world, and the weather was good. So usually during the winter, we did a lot of things outdoors, and that would take us back to my family on both sides. My mom and my dad were both from a little town called Leon, West Virginia, in between Point Pleasant and Charleston, West Virginia. So we spent a lot of time just being kids, being in the outdoors, carrying BB guns, walking through the woods, learning about life. Very grateful for having that sort of upbringing. But the military, from my grandparents, both grandfathers were in World War II and came back as war heroes, and just people that I had the utmost respect for, and had time to really get to know them, and just a deep faith, as well as just kind of the kind of people that were fun to be around and were always teaching us. But you know, there were a couple things that I know were monumental for me as a baseball player, and one of those was just a work ethic. And I witnessed that as had a grandfather on my father's side. My grandfather Matheny was working an active farm until he was almost 90 years old, and just loved to work. I didn't understand that as a kid. I just wanted to play, but had so much appreciation for it as I went on and realized that that became a part of the way that I went about my business, even in a game just like baseball, and something that I'm still trying to instill into my kids as well.
You got a scholarship offer from the University of Michigan. You were the co-captain of the Wolverines baseball team. How did you gravitate to the catching position?
Yeah, that was my dad, and he brought it. He knew I loved sports. I was competing in anything I could play. You know, in Central Ohio, football was kind of king, and so we played a lot of football, and that ran right until basketball season, which ran right into baseball season, which there wasn't much specialization. I'm grateful so much from each different sport, but he could tell there was a special spot in my heart for baseball. And I can still remember the conversation. I was going right into the baseball season when I was 10 years old. And my dad asked me if I really loved this, that there'd be probably more opportunity at the catching position than any other opportunity. You know, I think of having that conversation with a 10-year-old now, it's hard to believe. But I remember at that point saying, yeah, that sounds good to me. Because at that point, I was playing all the positions. I was pitching. Seemed like I was at shortstop a lot. But there was something about the catching that just kind of clicked. And so I don't normally suggest and really didn't even do it with my own kids. I have five kids. But I wanted them to be very well-rounded and just play sports, have fun, figure it out, and you'll find out whether or not it's something you want to be serious about. But for me, it came early. I wanted to be a catcher, and so I jumped into playing just that position as much as I could. Would do whatever my coaches need me to, but when they gave me the choice, I wanted to be behind the plate.
I know you were drafted certainly in 1988 in the Major League Baseball draft in the 31st round by the Toronto Blue Jays. Why did they wait so long to tell you what round you were drafted in and that they had selected you?
Well, they were probably embarrassed. you know, back then, you know, it was all done by phone call with a landline and a corded phone. And so I was getting as much information from some of the locals, and many of them had me built up that I might go higher. And so I sat around by that phone for the entire first day. I sat around by that phone for the entire second day of the draft. And by then, pretty discouraged and frustrated, not hearing a thing from anybody. And I think it just got to the point where I was just one of those late picks. And to be honest, that's truly where I should have been. I was young in the draft. I started school a year early, so I was 17 in that draft. And I was nowhere near mature enough or physically or emotionally to be ready for a professional season. But I did grow that summer, and the Blue Jays followed me, and they kept their eye on me, and then they did start to be in touch and made a very tempting offer right before I landed in Ann Arbor for my very first class. But up until that point, you know, when I realized I'd gone that far down in the draft, I knew I needed my education, which my education was always very important to me. But I always had this other dream, and that other dream was one day playing not just professional ball, but Major League Baseball.
Tell me a little bit about the minor leagues when you were there. You were there for 3 years before you came up. What was the philosophy with a young player in the minor leagues at that time?
Well, I was very fortunate. While I was at the University of Michigan, I got to play for a former major league catcher, Mr. Bill Freehan. And it was amazing. One, he kind of took me under his wing to teach me a little bit more about the ins and outs of the catching position, how to handle a pitching staff, how to handle calling a game, how to think a little bit different. He changed my concentration to Spanish at Michigan. All these different kind of just advantages that he brought to my attention that I hadn't thought of before. And so it made that transition into pro ball a little easier, because when I did get to sign with the Milwaukee Brewers, they all knew that I had the stamp of approval of Bill Freehan, which really kind of it kind of kept their hands off to just let me go do what I did. And then it was a great platform and a great opportunity to just go do what I had been doing without any major renovations to my game behind the plate. I was still trying to figure out how to hit, and I think I was trying to figure that out to the last day I played, period. But on the defensive side, I had kind of a carte blanche to go just do what you do, and then that gave me an opportunity to just move up through the system pretty quick.
We've got about a minute before we have to break here. April 7th, 1994, 23 years old. Tell me about that first game.
Yeah, I will never forget that, only because I've been dreaming about it my entire life. And then I'll never forget, I wasn't supposed to make that team, but we had some injuries that allowed me to kind of sneak in the back door. I woke up that morning in Milwaukee, and there was 6 inches of snow on the ground. I was scared to death. We were going to get snowed out, and somebody was going to change their mind, and I was never going to get my one day in the major leagues. But fortunately, in Milwaukee, they're used to that sort of thing, and they were out moving snow with shovels and snow blower machines. And next thing you know, there were 60,000 screaming cheesers ready for opening day in Milwaukee. And I'll never forget standing there listening to the national anthem, watching that all come true and realizing my family was in the stands who'd been through so much with me on that ride. But it was unforgettable.
Mike Matheny is with us on Sports Byline. We're talking about his life and his career. And, of course, 13 seasons with Milwaukee, Blue Jays, Cardinals, and the Giants. And then he went into managing. His first job was with the St. Louis Cardinals. Did a heck of a job there. And now the manager for the Kansas City Royals as well. When we come back on the other side, we're going to hit more of his insights as far as playing in Major League Baseball and also the transition from being a player to being a manager, to working with young players, to developing and improving an organization, and also following in the footsteps of one of the all-time great managers with the St. Louis Cardinals, of course. And then Dave Duncan was a coach on that St. Louis team as well. We do that as we continue on Sports Byline. Mike Matheny is with us here on Sports Byline USA, played 13 years in the majors with three teams, managed the St. Louis Cardinals and also the Kansas City Royals, and we're talking about his life and his career. You signed with St. Louis, and Darryl Kyle's sudden death in the summer of 2002 was something you went through along with your teammates there, and you were very important in helping them as an inspirational leader to cope and make it to the National League Championship Series. That is never an easy situation. Tell me more about how you viewed it and how you went through it.
Well, I got to tell you, when that happened, that was really the first major loss in my life. My grandparents were still alive, hadn't really lost close friends, and Darryl and I were close friends. So there was no template for me to necessarily rely on. So it was kind of handling grief for the first time, and then realizing that we had a group of guys that were all kind of in the same boat to where we were trying to go about playing a major league season. While we had this grief that we're trying to kind of come to grips with, and just the fact of losing a close friend, and not even to mention what Darryl meant to our team, because this guy continues. I still talk about Darryl Kyle and his selflessness and that style of leadership that brought along a player like a Chris Carpenter that then generationally would pass that on to an Adam Wainwright, who we see continue to pass on. Those are the kind of legendary players in my mind, regardless of what it looks like on the back of their baseball card. So with all that being said, this guy was more than just a friend and more than just a teammate. He was one of the pillars of the organization for a guy who hadn't been there that long. So it was it rocked all of our worlds in a lot of different ways. And I remember not really being able to unpack that whole thing maybe until that season was over. And we had the pleasure of being able to just try to honor Darryl by how we went about playing the game. And unfortunately, we came up short, but I think everyone on that team thought it was going to be something special. We had lost an icon in Jack Buck that same summer. And then within 2 weeks, Darryl had passed. And it was a lot to kind of go through, especially in a young person's mind who hasn't been through it before. And I heard every year we have some sort of tragedy in the game. And I think about the teammates. Obviously, even more importantly, the family and the people that are directly impacted when you have loss that happens just way too soon in life. But I keep coming back to how grateful I am to have people like Darryl who had an impact on my life, who were highly influential and took advantage of the platform that they had to make a difference in other people and to make people around them better.
You know, I always have great respect for catchers because I don't see them as catchers. I see them more than that. They're managers on the field. They have to kind of get the pulse of the team, the pitcher that's on the mound, the tempo of the game and all of that. And that has always gotten my, you might say, I've always admired catchers for that particular reason. You had a couple of influences on that St. Louis team. And let me ask you about Dave Duncan, and also who was a catcher, by the way, and also Tony La Russa. Tell me a little bit about, when you think about it over your career, the influence they had on you.
Well, I'll tell you this. Before I ever got to St. Louis, I'd been released by the Milwaukee Brewers and kind of their everyday catcher and doing a pretty nice job, even statistically behind the plate, just wasn't hitting. We were a team that were losing a lot of games, and it was a an easy out to kind of go in a different direction. Went and backed up 1 year in Toronto, didn't really do much to even deserve more playing time, and got released again. So I'd been released two times in 2 years, and it looked like a career was over. And at, you know, even to this day, the major league average career is less than 4 years, and I'd had more than that at that point. So, I mean, you could even look and say I had a better than average career just by longevity standards. And then I get an opportunity, which I thought was probably going to be my last opportunity, when as a non-roster invitee to spring training with the St. Louis Cardinals. Tony La Russa called me, said he didn't know what kind of opportunity, but there'd be an opportunity. Show up, be ready, come in and compete for a spot. And next thing you know, I get to spring training, and I want to tell you, I married a girl from St. Louis prior to this. And so we were making our home in the off season when I wasn't playing winter ball. I was making my home in St. Louis. So all of this sounded really good. I got down to Florida for spring training, and I could not have been any worse. I was one of the worst players I've ever seen. And I had no shot in my mind of making the team. And it was very monumental in my life the day Dave Duncan pulled me aside and told me that he knew I was a better player than what I was showing. And he felt that I was the kind of player that that team needed. And just whenever I start to doubt the impact and the influence and the importance of a coach, I go back to that conversation, as well as many with Tony La Russa and all the coaches I've had in my life. But that one in particular, that was a life-changing moment, to where it looked like I was about to be released for the third and probably final time, and I was just going to go jump into life. I had my degree from the University of Michigan. I wasn't afraid to go work and do something outside of the game, but I knew that there was something I could still bring. So the next thing you know, I started, and I had some really good, just real hard and tough conversations about what it is that I feel I need to do as a player and how can I free myself up to become that. And next thing you know, I'm starting opening day for the St. Louis Cardinals, catching Daryl Kyle opening day. And from there, end up playing enough games and had some really good support cast to where we get to go to the postseason for the first time, earn a gold glove, and really my career started all over again. And what a privilege to be able to play for a Hall of Fame manager like Tony La Russa, where I learned not just to be a major leaguer, but how to win and what it looked like to build that kind of culture, the day in, day out, just relentless drive and how Tony approached every single game and never missed a trick. A lot to live up to as a manager, but as a player, knowing how well he is prepared and how well that team is ready to compete, learned volumes and just tried to keep an eye on him. But I was still trying to survive too as a major league player. Fortunately, he did have that opportunity, and then every good thing does come to an end, and it was time for me to leave.
Let me ask you about the 2000 World Four. Let me ask you about the 2004 World Series, in which the St. Louis Cardinals were swept by Boston. The Cardinals that year won over 100 games, but I had a dinner with Dusty Baker, Joe Morgan, Tony La Russa, and Bill Walsh. And I'll never forget this. We're sitting in a restaurant in San Francisco, and a couple from Boston came by and said to Tony, "You're the best manager in baseball." And Tony's response was, "That's easy for you to say. You just won the World Series in four games." What happened in that World Series?
Yeah, that's one of those great examples of the hot team in the postseason. And that season, we won 104 games, and it was one of those very rare experiences. Where you walked onto the field every single day and you knew you were going to beat somebody. It just didn't know by how many we were going to beat them by. And having that sort of mentality always set a template for me of what the psychology of a really good team should look like. And Tony just had everybody clicking. He knew how to use each person properly. He knew what we had as far as leadership went and where he would kind of let go of the reins, where he needed to, you know, stick his prod in a little bit and get guys to move a little harder. It was artwork to see how the whole thing came together. And then we get to the World Series. We First of all, we didn't have our ace in Chris Carpenter. That always plays into the postseason. But we just couldn't do anything right, and truly, Boston could do nothing wrong. They just came off of being down from 3-0 against the Yankees, and they had a lot of momentum. But when we walked into Boston for game one, I could still feel that they knew that we were a better team. But it doesn't matter when you get to the postseason. What they did was everything that they needed to do to take that championship. So they completely earned it. I've never been so overwhelmed with not being able to get people out. And whatever we put down, they were able to figure out how to put a good swing on it. And they just beat us. They beat us in every way possible. And unfortunately, that was just embarrassing after a phenomenal season. And one of those that I just couldn't wait to get back to the World Series and try and do a little bit better next time.
Tony, of course, retired. And on November 14th, 2011, following that retirement, they made you, meaning the Cardinals, the youngest manager in Major League history. And I'm just wondering, did your experience as a Little League manager help you a lot? I say that tongue in cheek.
Well, I think any experience in baseball, you're probably getting better, but... it made no sense that worked out how it did. It was a bold move on behalf of the Cardinals ownership and front office. And you're following a team that just won the World Series in 2011, and Tony just retired and Dave Duncan steps down. Little did we know that not too far down the line, Albert Pujols, probably the greatest player of the last previous 10 years, was going to choose to go somewhere else. So there was a lot of change. And for me to be even invited in to that conversation, to have that interview, was one of the greatest compliments of my life. And walked in and really felt like I didn't have a lot to lose. I've been working in the organization as a roving catching instructor and special assistant to the general manager. So I had a good feel of the organization itself. But made the commitment that I wasn't going to go in and try and be Tony La Russa or anybody else, that I was just going to be myself, talk about the things that I feel are most important. And a lot of that is leadership, and which I still say is a big part of the managerial position. And fortunately, Mr. Bill DeWitt, Mr. John Mozeliak felt that I was the right fit at the right time. And I was completely blown away, overwhelmed. But ready for the challenge to see if I could keep that great culture going.
And another challenge you got was on October 31st, 2019. You were hired as the manager of the Kansas City Royals after another retirement, that of manager Ned Yost. And just overall, with that experience of managing now, Mike, what is the greatest asset that any manager can have, generally speaking?
Yeah, I just believe it's understanding what the role is, and the role is it's about people. Yes, baseball, but there are a lot of people that understand the game of baseball. But I truly think in the day-to-day operation, just from what I've been able to experience, it's about 10% baseball and it's 90% people. And to lead and challenge and encourage and to try and make the most of not just of the skill that we have, but truly understanding, try to have some empathy of where guys are coming from, what it is that they want to achieve, and then try to pull guys together and collectively everybody getting on the same page to pull in the same direction. It's a fantastic challenge, that something that really suits me. Even I've said this before, I enjoyed playing so much, but this enjoy even more, which makes no sense at all, even as I say it out loud, except for the fact that when you lock arms with a group of guys and you've got a responsibility and an opportunity to try and help them achieve the things that they want to achieve personally and collectively, and to be able to help drive that and then to help navigate through some of the garbage that happens, because it's life and we've got a bunch of young, talented people. And how can we go from challenge to challenge and keep everybody focused on the bigger goal and try to do that in a selfless way? I mean, that to me is kind of how I'm wired and what has made this position so special for me.
In 30 seconds, is there a moment that's kind of engraved in Mike Matheny's mind that he'll never forget about his career?
I think it's just a lot of overcoming. I was that 31st round pick, and to be able to do a lot of things that people never thought I'd be able to do after being released a couple of times, And I think it's just having challenges, being able to stand up and to keep fighting, take advantage of opportunities and make more of maybe the talent that I had. Those are the sort of things to work hard and to treat people right along the way. You know, I would say one of my favorite comments about anybody in the history of baseball is about Branch Rickey, and they considered him a ferocious gentleman, it says in his biography. And I always thought, you know, that's the way I want to go about this. I want to play in a ferocious way. I want to lead and serve in a ferocious way, but also treat people right along the way. And I believe that's the groundwork for making an impact in people's lives through this game.
Mike, I want to thank you for your time and also the insights that you've shared with me and our audience as well. It's been so enjoyable. Please come back and join us again. And good luck as the manager of the Kansas City Royals.
All right. Thank you very much. Take care.
Mike Matheny, former catcher, 13 years, playing with Milwaukee, the Blue Jays, Cardinals, and the Giants, and then, of course, started his major league managing career with the St. Louis Cardinals and the Kansas City Royals. And also, after his playing career, he coached Little League Baseball. You heard him talk about that. We continue with more of You and Sports Byline.